Hello. Today is May 6th. We're here with another section on business, and I think were we gonna do AI on this section too?
Robot or was it security? AI. Yes, that's right.
Oh, I was right the first time. I should have just stopped there.
And we'll start out with one of the most entertaining robots, even though this is the business section. He's having a meltdown, and it is so fun to watch.
Elon Musk tweet wipes $14 billion off of Tesla's value. Now, some of that had recovered, about 7% of that had recovered by the time we're filming this, but it wasn't just that. I mean, he was tweeting up a storm about selling his house and fighting with his girlfriend.
He said that he was going to sell all of his properties. He wasn't going to own a home anymore. Said that the stock price was too high, obviously. He's really upset about the quarantine. Really upset about the quarantine.
Yeah, he wants everything to reopen now. I'm sure there's no selfish motives involved there. That's all, you know.
And then some just obscure stuff about raging against authority. Now, the
whole thing is odd.
I think the New York Times reported that they actually contacted him, and they said, did you get hacked, first of all? And if you didn't get hacked, did you clear that tweet about the stock price with the crew that you agreed on penalty of jail to clear before you tweeted anything about the stock price? And he responded only with the word no.
Sounds like a hacking to me.
I don't know. We'll see. Now, there is... he benefits greatly financially from a high stock price. But then I read another thing where it could also be beneficial for him if the stock price is lower going into a certain time period. Hmm. And then it goes up from that period. So, could just be that he's lost it. I'll tell you what, though. A lot of eyes going to be locked on that Twitter account.
He's tweeting today. Our recording date is Sunday.
What's he got today?
Talking about, like, Minecraft servers in the car and, like...
Or some kind of augmented
reality.
Minecraft in
a Tesla, and it was like, what?
Yeah, that sounds like a really bad idea. But one thing that he could be happy about is some new things that his cars can do. I thought they already did this. I didn't realize this was something they couldn't do. Because watching those videos, it seems like they do this.
Oh, yeah. Tesla vehicles recognize and respond to traffic lights and stop signs with the latest software update. So, of course, Autopilot says don't take your eyes off the wheel. It's not going to recognize it in every scenario. It's not going to turn automatically. But when it stops at a stoplight or a stop sign, you still have to hit the paddle or the gas to tell it it's okay to go ahead.
But we should remember that a couple of weeks ago, he said, was it 1 million or 3 million fully autonomous taxis by the end of the year?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem likely.
It's a long way to go. We'll see. And in his other venture, a couple of recent setbacks. Really not as bad as they sound, because that's why you do testing. But yeah, they had some catastrophic testing failures. And finally, it seems like they got it right this time.
SpaceX Starship prototype finally aces its pressure test. So yeah, it seems like the last pressure test that it failed mechanically was fine, but it was a configuration problem.
Ironic that the Starship finally, you know, is able to take on the pressures of cryo testing, whereas it seems like Musk himself has broken under the pressures of life. Also, his kid is supposed to be due around Monday.
Oh, I wonder if it was complications.
No.
Well, I hope they're okay.
No, I think she's okay, because he was like, oh, she's mad at me. Probably for tweeting and, you know, tanking the stock price.
Yeah, probably for getting rid of $14 billion of her child's eventual inheritance.
Oh, she has to split that with, like, his five other kids.
Little does she know that he's going to... It'll all be gone by that point. He'll do something else.
He's got emerald money.
No, his father hates him now.
Who else will inherit it, though?
I think he's got other siblings, right?
Does he?
No, wait, didn't the father, like, marry the daughter or something?
Yeah, it was sort of something messed up.
I'd say she's getting it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a twisted web.
I'm sure someone in the comments will correct us if we don't have that right.
Oh, there are going to be so many five-paragraph comments about that.
Engagement challenge.
Listen, I think it's possible to acknowledge that his companies do good things while also acknowledging that he's a raving lunatic. Like,
all right, well, we talked about Walt Disney.
Huh? Yeah.
Howard Hughes.
Disney really hasn't done all that good, though.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla and SpaceX are much better, but
you know who else has definitely not done a lot of good is Frontier. And we learned last week that they are going into bankruptcy because, in fact, they've done bad, but they haven't really profited from it. They've managed to squander all that blood money somehow. And they have more woes coming on them, it seems.
Frontier, amid bankruptcy, is suspected of lying about broadband expansion. Small ISPs want an investigation as Frontier tries to block FCC funding for rivals. So this is that whole census block thing, remember? And so Frontier has said, hey, we service these census blocks. Don't give anybody else funding to build out infrastructure in these census blocks because we have service there. But some of these small ISPs are like, no one in this census block can get service from you. We think you're lying. And Frontier is probably going to get caught because they're in bankruptcy and they don't have the infrastructure or the money to really sort of respond to anybody. It's like Schrodinger's service block. It's like, until somebody looks at it, really looks at it, we don't know if it's serviced or not. And historically, when this kind of thing would come up, it's like, oh, we'll just randomly pick this one. And then, you know, the Frontier crew would race ahead of everybody else and actually set up ISP service there and be like, see? But all the other census blocks didn't have service. Probably not going to happen this time.
Now, you might think, well, this is good. Finally, somebody's looking out for the consumer. It's not quite that. It's the smaller ISPs who are dying to get a piece of that $16 billion in relief money. And that's based on how much build-out you've done for broadband. So if you haven't done your part, then you don't get as much money, and more trickles down to the smaller guys.
And do you think Appalachian Wireless will get any money?
Well, they probably will, because they are the only one in town.
Uh-huh.
What an evil corporation. Probably not as evil as Frontier. I don't know. I haven't dealt with them in quite a while. Now, meanwhile, with all the ISPs, you remember when they told us, hey, data is super expensive, and we can't just let you use it. If you use all you want, you'll go crazy, you don't know your own limits, and you'll bankrupt us. We could never carry this load. It would destroy the internet as we know it if we let you use all the data. But it's weird because we've been doing that for a month. Things are kind of okay.
Comcast waives data cap until at least June 30th in response to the...
That's another 2 months.
2 months of no data caps? What does this even mean?
The internet will never survive this. So, yeah. Turns out that was a lie. I'm sure they'll go back to it eventually, though. As soon as those beaches open.
Well, most of them are, I think. At least in some of the southern states.
It makes me sad, because the pictures that are coming up on social media, it's like they're packed in like sardines, and it's like, oh.
I could see like, oh, let's just open them, but who are the people who are actually going?
Apparently all of lower Manhattan.
I would say probably mostly Instagram thoughts. You gotta create content, Krista. One thing, if we've learned one thing from the past 3-4 years, it is that competition, if we're among the chip makers, especially the CPU makers, is really good for consumers. It takes those big dinosaurs who have been eating our lunch for so long and makes them vulnerable. And that's why this sounds like a really great idea.
ARM is offering early stage startups free access to its chip designs. Now, this is a TechCrunch article that goes on about how all the stuff that ARM has going on, which ARM is an established company, they've got tons of resources and all this other kind of stuff, but it doesn't once mention RISC-V. The whole reason for this is competition, I think mainly from RISC-V, because RISC-V is like free with no strings attached. Not really. I mean, there's a few, but not really. And ARM, this seems like not free at all. Like lots and just tons of strings attached, but this is more than ARM has ever done in the past. So that's exciting.
It's kind of like those game development licenses.
Yeah.
It's like, as long as you're not successful, don't worry about paying us. But the minute you get successful, we're coming for our pound of flesh.
The minute you have a blockbuster game, we're going to rip it off and clone it. It's like, anybody remember the whole PUBG Fortnite thing? And it's like, oh, those aren't really clones. But at the same time, it's like,
Yeah. So, And speaking of CPU competition, Team Blue has had to make concession after concession to try and catch up because, you know, they're way in the back at this point. They need to get back to the front. And so they are now giving us more on the whole line of chips and trying desperately to compete, even though there is that number 14. They can't get away from that.
Intel Comet Lake, all the gaming CPU specs, pricing, release date, and performance info. Intel has dished out all the dirt on its 10th gen Comet Lake desktop CPU processors. Spoiler alert, the i3-10100 is basically the same as the i7-7700. So you can get it all the way up to 10 cores. 10 is the absolute maximum limit. It's a new socket. It's $488 for the 10 core, which is kind of nice. You know, those 9900 KSs were like $750 when they first launched.
Wonder why they dropped that price.
How they didn't drop the price. This is a new product at a new price.
Also hyper-threaded all the way through the lineup. Again, trying to compete with more cores. And they're really boosting the clock speeds, although this is one of those situations where no one actually has them yet.
Yeah.
And they haven't announced when they're going to be on sale. And the power levels to get to those turbo speeds are quite severe.
The motherboards are built to be able to deliver like 300 and some watts to the CPU, so I'm going to withhold judgment until I get my hands on one. But yeah, competition.
We talked about Jeff Bezos being, getting a huge gain on that whole world's richest man running.
I found this whole article just so disingenuous.
How many billions was it?
It's like 23.
Yeah, 23, 24 billion he has clocked in his personal belongings. That's not Amazon going up that much. That's him going up that much. But he says, hang on a minute. It's not all sunshine. This might actually cost us a little money.
Yeah, Amazon's sales surges, but Bezos says the cost from the thing that I almost said could hit $4 billion. So here's why this is disingenuous. It's like we just had an extra $100 billion in sales, which is going to cost us $4 billion more than it would have ordinarily to service those sales. Oh my God, your profit margin is 28% instead of 32%. Boo, hoo, hoo.
Listen, I'm just really crying because what if he can't buy his 10th house this year? We all need to be buying more from Amazon.
He should be more like Musk and sell all of his properties.
I think all of this is a subterfuge campaign because I think that as senators look around at the economic devastation in their districts from all of the businesses in their districts that close up shop, they're going to be out for blood. And so I think it's wise of him to try to downplay how good things are for Amazon.
And if you really, and again, I love Amazon and I'm using it. And so I'm a hypocrite here, but businesses that are selling fringe niche items are non-essential. And they're just getting killed right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Amazon is selling that exact same item.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not fair. He's doing it in a safer way, I guess. But
if you had a business selling niche fringe items and you can do it online, business is better than ever. Level 1 KVMs can confirm.
Are these
sort of level 1 tech stack?
Are these greenhouses or art installations? What is that?
I thought it was a greenhouse.
That's their headquarters.
Well, there's not people in there, are there?
Not right now, because
they're
staying home
order. Only the robots.
Those are the buildings? I thought the headquarters was like behind there. There's nobody in those bubbles, right?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Engagement challenge.
I want to know what's in those bubbles. It really does bring on a Legion of Doom from the Super Friends kind of vibe, you know? Like that big thing that lived in the swamp and would come up.
It's the Fortress of Solitude. We had to relocate it from the Arctic Circle.
They had a name for that thing. I don't remember what it was. Chat. What was the name of the big bubble that lived in the swamp that the Legion of Doom lived in?
Oh, was that the one where like they would have to come out of the little pods like down the staircase and then they would go into another one? I remember thinking, oh, that must be terrible because you would get like swamp muck all over your boots and stuff as you went from one pod to the other. They just weren't connected.
All I remember is just like it was this big dome, like black dome that rose up out of the bubbling tar.
I don't know this reference.
Yeah, you're too young. Yeah, young whippersnapper. You don't know about good cartoons. Actually, Super Friends was kind of a garbage cartoon. They focused on the children characters, which drove me crazy.
This child has to learn an important lesson.
Oh, the stupid Wonder Twins. They were the worst characters. Western Digital last week sheepishly admitted that, yes, it was using bad technology in even its NAS drives. In fact, across the whole lineup, they were using this technology.
It slipped it in without disclosing it.
Those disgusting shingles. They got a bad case of the shingles. And now we find out they were not alone.
Yeah, Toshiba publishes a list of consumer hard drives that use the shingled magnetic recording as well. So Toshiba, like Western Digital, not exactly being forthcoming. Like, it should be displayed in bold letters on the packaging. Like, hey, these hard drives. But instead, they just give you a list.
So you can go with this, jump on the one tab there and see if you are affected.
It's the 4 and 6 terabyte models.
Hilariously enough, one of their gaming drives.
Yeah, no, that would be...
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think it was notebook gaming, but still. And when it comes to selling notebooks, for sure, but PCs in general, Lenovo is the big name these days. I think they are number one right now, aren't they?
They're close to it, if not.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Usually, we only see smaller fringe companies doing this, but they are taking the bold step into free operating systems.
Lenovo will start offering ThinkPads with Linux pre-installed. You know, Dell, you were able to get the Dell XPS Developer Edition and some of the Dell laptops, but a lot of the new ThinkPads, especially the new ThinkPads with the Ryzen 4000 series CPUs, you can get Linux pre-installed. So Lenovo's done the work for qualifications, drivers, updates. Have a pretty good Linux experience with those.
That will be Fedora, although they did admit you will not get the non-free graphics drivers.
Yeah.
You will still have to deal with that. It's not that big a deal, but for the normie users, I can totally see that being a big problem. You get that blank screen, and you're like, what's going on?
Well, it only matters on the models that have the NVIDIA built-in graphics.
Yeah, that's true. Usually you're probably going to go for like an integrated workhorse laptop or something. Yeah. But there'll be a couple of people who'll be affected.
Yeah.
And they'll be angry. A lot of companies are killing it in the current situation, a lot of tech companies, but the ones who are selling things like phones do not seem to be killing it. People don't seem to be eager to buy phones during this whole situation. Makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, money's tight. You can't go and play with them at Best Buy.
Zoom works better on your laptop.
Got your Trump bucks.
Yeah, well, your Trump bucks are going to other kinds of things.
No, you immediately waste that money on a new electronic.
And the biggest player in the game is in fact admitting that there will be delays because of all this.
Apple delays mass production of the 2020 flagship iPhones. Phones, some with 5G connectivity, will vary in price, come in three sizes. Now, Apple did launch the iPhone SE, which did better than expected. It's basically a rebadged iPhone 8. But yeah.
Now, is he holding the earbuds?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about this animation that's up at the top.
I don't know what's going on with him. His eyebrows are two different icons. It looks high.
He looks like he's offering drugs to someone next to the fence.
It looks like,
hey,
that.
Do you want an earbud?
One of those earbuds is a straw, and he just did a big line of something. That's all over his nose. I don't know. It's interesting. Wall Street Journal did an interesting job with their stock photo there, but I don't know how.
It makes me think the stock photo crew is working from home.
You want to convert to a whole different ecosystem? Come over here, kid. And then he hands him the AirPod.
Well, if you're excited about RTX, what if I told you you could get some RTX in your lungs?
NVIDIA's top scientist develops an open source ventilator that can be built with only $400 of readily available parts. And they've got a picture of it there, and it does seem deceptively simple.
I think it uses some kind of bag that they have in ambulances for, like, you know, emergency ventilating. And it's basically just a valve and was like a solenoid or a pump or something.
And a little microcontroller.
And yeah, super simple. And as they show here, you can just pop it in a suitcase, take it with you. So, I don't know. I saw that another company, I didn't include the story, but one company was like, hey, we spent millions of dollars on these ventilators. Look what we were able to do. And they're like, oh, we don't need those anymore. You can just keep them.
We will.
You think a new resurgence?
Yeah, I mean, if those beach photos are anything to be believed.
Well, that's quite a prediction. And a lot of predictions are made here on this program. Sometimes people gloat a little bit. But you got to admit when you got it wrong, too. And I will say I definitely got it wrong. I badmouthed Microsoft with this whole cloud subscription nonsense. I was like, that ain't going to work. That's stupid. Well,
Microsoft's big Xbox Game Pass bet is starting to pay off. Microsoft takes an early lead in the battle for the Netflix of video games. Yeah, I think this is one where I didn't think it was going to do well either.
It's not
bad. People paying for that convenience, right?
I actually have it, and it's not a bad deal. It's $5 a month, and I've already played, was it Outer Worlds? Is that the name of that Fallout clone?
Oh, yeah.
And Bloodstained, and there's another game I played on there. And if I would have paid retail for those, that's probably like almost a year of subscription payments. So I'm coming out ahead.
We'll see if it's still doing well when Microsoft's no longer taking a loss on offering it.
That is the beta period.
Yeah.
Now, they say that the price might go up.
Yeah,
if the price goes past $8, I'm out.
Yeah, I was thinking like $20. It's like $20 is probably what they're targeting. Because look at Netflix. Netflix is approaching $20.
The game library, I think the biggest problem is I own a lot of the games already, so I don't get a lot of value out of it. But there's a lot of garbage on there. A lot of games you just don't care about. Or at least I don't care about. So we'll see. For now, I think it's beneficial. And one thing that we constantly come back to, it's not a surprise. It's barely a news story, but it's just fun to point out. Is that Google and Microsoft are constantly in this little slap fight when it comes to the advertising wars.
Microsoft is bombarding Chrome using Outlook.com visitors with ads for Edge. It's like Edge, at this point it's like, Edge is using the same engine. You have no reason to use Chrome. It is literally the same rendering engine. Use Edge. Edge.
And those of us who lived through IE are like, never again.
Vietnam flashbacks to IE6.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it's too much. Too much to overcome those dark memories. Now, this actually has already happened. This was May 1st. And it did happen. I don't think it had a major effect. This kind of thing happens a lot. Now, I suspect next week we'll talk about a couple of firings.
Yeah. Workers from Amazon, Instacart, and others are calling in sick to protest poor protections from the thing. And a few people did walk off, you know, as you said, but a lot of people didn't, because a lot of people were looking around and was like, Jimmy, we can't do this right now. There's 30 million people that are unemployed. I'm just happy to have a job.
So I don't
think nothing about this after it happened. It almost makes me wonder if they just weren't reporting on it very much.
Well, no, I think it was just so underwhelming.
Maybe.
Just people are going to get fired over that. And their jobs will be immediately replaced and...
by one of the 30 million?
They'll be forgotten. And then possibly killed.
They'll be Jimmy Hoffa.
Now, we fell for it. We did the story.
We did.
About this. And it turns out, not true. The difference is unique users versus total. Now, if you know anything about web traffic... that total number is useless. It doesn't tell you anything.
Zoom admits it does not have 300 million users and corrects its misleading claims. So it's like 300 million instances of people doing stuff. Probably a lot of those were the same person doing something over and over again.
They point out, like, people could have up to 5 Zoom meetings a day. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can, actually.
The darkness of that.
I think my record so far is 8. I had 8. In a day.
In a day? Wow.
Yeah, and it was just like, this is... everybody, like, mostly... I mean, I get it. Most of it is more, like, psychological than actual functional. Because, like, some people are adjusting. And, like, they're still able to do business with the shutdown. And so they seem to be very thankful for that. But they're also not sure about all of the other people that they work with. And so most of it is just, like, hey, are you there? Is everything operating normally? Do I have to worry about anything? He's like, nope, we're good. I mean, like, we're all nerds. We're all shut-ins anyway, so everything's basically continuing as normal.
Well, they are still doing brisk business. There's no denying that. I think that was probably just someone who was updating the website that didn't know the difference between those two terms.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been reprimanded severely. So we'll see. Zoom is still expanding, though. In fact, their growth rate is way beyond what they can handle with their infrastructure, and they had to go out there and get more cloud capacity. So obviously, you go to Amazon, right? Wrong. No, okay, so they're going to do Microsoft. No, not Microsoft. Who does that leave? The worst choice.
Zoom taps Oracle for cloud deal, passing over Amazon and Microsoft. Engagement challenge. Were you part of this decision? Can you enlighten us? Because this seems like business suicide.
Wendell has entered the chat.
They must have thrown him a crazy deal.
Well, just free. It's like, yeah. Free. Yeah. It would have to be free.
This has to sting for AWS because you just got shut out of Jedi. And they're like, hey, Zoom needs, they sent out this, service request, and it's like, oh, we got that. That's in the bank.
I think this is a little bit of an engagement challenge, but I don't think the pricing on Amazon AWS has really ever gone down. Like, not really. So, like, whenever Amazon AWS was stood up and you get that, you know, like, T2 small instance or whatever, one, has that instance ever really improved over time? And the answer is a little bit, but in practice, no. And then the other question is, has it ever gone down in price? Because that amount of compute when AWS launched versus today, those are very different numbers. It was a lot of compute when it launched, and today it's utter garbage. And so Amazon AWS is crazy expensive. That's why you should check out Linode. Save some money with Linode. Link below.
If only Zoom had known that. Well, I assume you guys have both seen Trolls World Tour.
I saw ads for this.
About it. Yeah.
This was one of the biggest profile movies, although were there previous troll movies?
I guess so. I think there was one.
So this must be a hit amongst the kids, and this was one of the first really big movies that just said, you know what? There's no theaters, so let's just go completely digital. Made $100 million. And I assume you cut some costs there by not going through the theater route, because they could take a cut, right?
Yeah.
A big cut.
No, probably not a huge cut.
So they said, hey, if we can make $100 million and not worry about the theaters, maybe we should just do this forever. And the theater companies heard that and had a small stroke.
AMC Theaters will no longer play any Universal movies after the Trolls World Tour movie has an on-demand success. The decision came after recent comments from NBC Universal's chief executive. So, yeah. Okay.
Have you seen how they're, like, planning on reopening theaters? They're talking about putting, like, plexiglass between all the seats.
That would be great. Although, wouldn't that mess with the sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a great experience. It's like, why would I go to a theater at all now?
If I can get that high-fidelity experience, in my home theater, which I don't have.
They have a pair of headphones.
Well, okay. A pair of headphones and a big monitor. I got that.
Yeah.
So.
It's fine. But, yeah, I welcome the skipping the theater phase. Then I don't have to wait to watch movies. It's great. But I think it will hurt them to have, like, the really big releases not go to the theater once those reopen. Because people, that's a social event. You know, that's like something to do. So people still want to go out and have something to do. It's not all about the movie. Plus, what about those, like, dress up as Harry Potter goofs?
Yeah, I don't have to deal with that.
Or someone who dresses up as an elf. Now, I imagine that neither of you have been taking any taxis recently.
No.
Been to what?
Taxis.
Taxis.
Oh, no. I haven't been in a taxi in years.
Kind of a terrifying idea right now is to get in there. You don't know what's floating around in there. You don't know what the driver's got. It's basically just a petri dish.
Yeah.
And the companies are hurting.
Lyft is laying off 982 employees and furloughing a further 288 due to the thing. Now, when I first read this headline, it was processed as, you know, Lyft as a global organization is only losing 982 people. And I was like, that seems actually pretty good. And then I thought, oh, they're not counting any of the thousands of people who are no longer driving for Lyft.
The drivers are not employees.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah.
So they're just, wow. So that's, you got to figure that. I mean, how many employees could manage the people doing the driving, 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1.
It's got to be huge. Yeah. Huge ratio.
So
also, Uber, they mentioned the Uber's having similar layoffs. Because what are you going to do? It's weird. There's going to be a like a big vacuum when that comes back online.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens then.
I don't think it's going to come back online all at once, though.
I guess they can spool up pretty quickly, those companies.
Well, they can spool up pretty quickly, but, I mean, look at all the crazy stuff that Uber was doing, which is not self-driving related because they were just making more money than they knew what to do with. So now it could be that, you know, ultimately Lyft is a company ran by, like, 50 people in the future, even though they might have 100,000 drivers. Mm-hmm. It's all just automated.
Cutting out the management. Maybe the best case scenario. Moving on to the robot world, we have some interesting AIs this week, and one of them will probably be a nightmare that many of you will have to deal with in the maybe already as you're looking for a new job.
LinkedIn's AI generates candidate screening questions from job postings. Our cyberpunk future is here, finally.
It's worse than expected. Yeah. I don't even have a flying car.
So this actually goes well with the whole management thing. They point out that a lot of times in a very technical position, the person in charge of hiring doesn't understand enough about it to ask important questions. But you know who does? Your friendly robot. So they give some examples. It was like, how many years of experience do you have with blank? And then the AI knows, based on the job posting, to ask Java. Or, you know, like, what have you done with X in the past?
I need you to have 15 years of experience with Go. And it's like, wait, what? That's not a thing. And it's like, well, I have 7 other applicants for this job who have 15 years of experience with Go. You mean to tell me that every one of those are lying? Well, Go's not been around that long.
So this is not just, like, experimental. They've actually been using it. And they claim that they weeded out 16% of candidates who they never should have even talked to in the first place.
Kind of horrifying.
Yeah. Especially if you're in that, like... So imagine this is your world right now. You just graduated college, but your senior year basically didn't exist. You learned nothing, and you did a stupid online program. You got nothing out of it. Now you're going into a job market that's just in turmoil, and you have to talk to an AI. And you never speak to a human being.
Again, our cyberpunk future is finally here.
I mean, that's kind of like, I remember when I first started looking at jobs, and my mom was like, just go in and talk to the person when you hand in your resume. And I was like, Mom, no one does that anymore.
Yeah.
You do it all online. And now even the interviews are going to be online.
Even in our day, when I was in high school, I remember going to grocery stores and stuff.
Yeah.
And you would talk to the person at the service desk, and it was like, no, you just go to that little machine over there. You don't talk to a person. So... sure, it's much worse now. AI, we have learned, can do an amazing number of things. It's writing music. It's writing poems. It's creating pictures of cats. But there's all this like argument about who owns it. Can the AI own things? And I think we got the ruling that no, they can't copyright things. AI cannot copyright things. And now we learn that there's another thing they cannot do.
Artificial intelligence cannot be inventors, the U.S. Patent Office rules. An AI system called DeBus invented 2 new devices, but the USPTO says that only humans can do that. So the inventor of the AI created these 2 AIs to do, like, one of them was like a package or something, and that the inventor of the AI didn't know anything about the fields in which the AI were working. But they actually the AI actually came up with 2 novel designs. And so, you know, with a patent, it's like, you know, somebody skilled in the arts of this thing has to be able to look at it and recreate what you did. And so it's like, the inventor was saying, well, the spark of genius came from the AI. And it's like, well, I don't 100% buy that.
The pro camp likened it to a college professor training you on a topic and then you inventing something and him being awarded the patent. But it's not quite the same.
No.
One of those does a human.
No, I don't depend on my college professor to, like, keep me running or, you know, to do anything, really.
Or to create you in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe everyone's parents should get their patents.
Yeah.
Only orphans can have patents. We, one of the most common AI stories, we get one almost every week now, is how good AI is at detecting X disease.
Disease, yeah.
It's, there's all sorts of cancers and, you know, like various lung and brain abnormalities. It seems like it's limitless. And they're always like, oh yeah, we ran it against this test data and it performed flawlessly. But is that, can that be translated to the real world? Perhaps not.
This headline says Google's medical AI was super accurate in the lab, but real life was a different story, implying that the medical AI was not super accurate in real life. But in fact, that is wrong. This article talks about the AI and was actually really good, but the AI would also reject when the nurses did things like the scan wasn't the cleanest. So, like, this is in India, and it's looking at your eyes for signs of some kind of degeneration and diabetes and some other things. And the AI would reject images unless it was, like, perfectly clear. It's like the old axiom with computers, garbage in, garbage out. It was rejecting things, not that were garbage, but that were just not perfect. And so a nurse could look at this and be like, this person obviously doesn't have anything wrong with their eyes. But the AI would not make that call. So those sort of problems were the type of problems with this AI in real life, not the actual problem with the AI.
Well, it seems to be like working as intended, because if there's any sort of ambiguity, you would want the medical professional to look at it and not just the AI.
Yeah, but the problem was, and this was Thailand, by the way, not India.
Or Thailand, yeah.
The problem was these nurses are not qualified to make that decision. And it's one of those situations where they look at hundreds of them every day, and they're probably just as good as the doctor at this point. But you have to have that qualification.
Yeah. Thailand makes more sense because it was like 200 specialists. And I was like, wow, there's only 200 people for this in the entire country of like a billion people.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was mass screening. They were in tents somewhere, you know, just doing like these mass programs. And they ran into several issues, which was the image quality, obviously, because they couldn't get a steady picture because they were like in the jungle somewhere. And the bandwidth. So when you got like a false, like, oh, I can't deal with this image, you send it to a team of specialists who were on standby, but the bandwidth allowed them to do 10 per hour versus the 200 images they were taking per hour.
So I think this basically was fine from the AI side. All the other problems were not fine.
It was infrastructure.
Yeah.
The AI was too powerful for the infrastructure they put it on top of. So
the AI was so powerful it was on the verge of consciousness.
But it does go to show you that
you
can't immediately replace people.
No.
Because when the AI, it's like it cannot adapt or overcome its surroundings. It's just like, what? This isn't what I'm expecting? Get it out of here.
The other thing I thought of while I was reading this was in Idiocracy, where he goes into the medical thing and there's just that huge thing of buttons and they're like hitting the buttons with the thing. And the AI is like, take a better picture. It's like, take a better picture.
And a nurse doesn't have photography training. What were you saying, Krista?
I was about to make the same sort of assessment you did, where it's like, if it's not perfect conditions, it just can't perform.
But they could, you know, change it. And they did talk about the workflow. They were like, oh, well, we built this so that the nurses didn't have any input, but based on these circumstances, why don't we just let them, you know, say that's a false positive.
Can't read the image. It's fine. Can't read the image. It's fine.
Yeah. Although can introduce more problems. That's better than nothing. You get the idea that these are people who weren't going to be screened otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's still a good thing. Did you guys listen to these samples?
I didn't.
They're so good.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's right there with the music. But the voice, like sometimes it's saying words, but sometimes you can't make out the words. And so it's this weird, like, dystopian. This is exactly what I would expect if we were living in a simulation and it couldn't quite get music. And you'd be hearing this and you'd be like, well, am I going crazy?
It's a new level one intro tunes. OpenAI's Jukebox AI produces music in any style from scratch, complete with lyrics. So
it's similar, the way they describe it, it's similar to the variable bitrate MP3s. Remember those? They sounded terrible.
Yeah.
Where it, based on what's going on in the music, it clips off a bunch of stuff to save time and energy. And the voice, you can really hear it with the voice because it gets that like compressed, clipped quality when you can't understand what's going on. It sounds like a really, really, really bad auto-tune. Where it just blurs the words sometimes. But other than that, it sounds like a really valid country song, the one I listened to. It was supposed to be, what, Alan Jackson, I think, was the... Oh, Leanne Rimes. I didn't even do that one. Yeah, country in the style of Alan Jackson. Definitely check these out. It's worth a listen.
I thought of the Rick and Morty where it's like they're in the simulation and Jerry turns on the radio and there's not enough computing power for it to really simulate the radio. So it's just like human music. And it's just like boop, 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 beep.
Well, this is several grades higher than that.
Yeah.
But there's something wrong with
it. It's actually fairly convincing.
Yeah, there's something really wrong. If you were in a Walmart and this was just playing on the speakers and you weren't paying attention to it, it would totally pass. You have to really focus in. It's like, what? Some of those aren't words. But crazy, I think 600,000 songs it was trained on. And man, it bangs out a country tune. No problem.
Nice.
So tomorrow will be, what's left?
Linode. Nonsense. Thanks again, Linode. We'll have another Linode ad on Friday.
Security.
And nonsense.
We haven't done security, right? So no, it'll be security and nonsense tomorrow.
Right.
The shortest of the days.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Just to see if you you clipped out again.
I don't know.
Your Discord is detecting your buy and trying to destroy it.
Maybe it's just too loud.
I wonder if that's coming through to... Oh, no, it can't be right. Because
yeah, it's probably just too loud.
Do
it's
like,
clipping it.
Do like a really stealth one. That's a great ending, actually.